That's right. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer back here with you on WBEN. Breaking news, as you heard there at the top of the hour, Danilo Cavalcante, the escaped killer in Pennsylvania, captured this morning after just about 2 weeks on the run, ending that manhunt, spanned most of Chester County in Pennsylvania. Expecting to hear a little bit more information on this about a half hour from now, probably more like an hour if we're being realistic with how these things go, still being transported to question mark. You know, I don't know exactly where they're bringing him, but captured. So good news there. You know, you heard a little bit from some of the people who were very concerned, as you would imagine, if you're in the direct vicinity of the prison and kind of being told to watch out over the past few days.
Yeah, and then what was it, yesterday or the day before, he acquired a weapon? I mean, that's got to put you on extra high alert, but obviously put them on high alert as well, and they were able to capture him.
And then it is like a startling, you know, we're watching this footage right now, this helicopter trailing and, you know, taking the overhead shot of them bringing him into custody. And it is, it's like striking. You have like all this equipment, all these people. You have the National Guard, the state police, you know, dressed up in all their wearing helmets, wearing fatigues, dressed in camouflage, and just this one guy in a hoodie, right? Like, it is striking to see, like, when that is, that just one person can cause all of that.
Yep.
And that's what it takes to capture one guy.
What do you think about them posing for? Is that
they all posed for a picture? So
I see everyone talking about this on social media.
Everyone kind of like posing for. I'm guessing that's like a "We Got Him" photo.
Okay, so that's a normal.
It looks like, you know, Wayne Gretzky brings the Stanley Cup to center ice after they won the cup, and everyone like poses for the team photo. That's what happened here with, I don't know if this is state police or, you know, whoever took the photo, who's all dressed up here. I don't know if that normally happens. It is a little, like I said, it's a little strange because the photo is, I mean, on one hand, you will never forget it, right? If you worked on capturing this guy for 2 weeks,
right,
on a manhunt, and you finally caught him, and you were part of the team that caught him, like, yeah, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Like, on the other hand, like, if you're this guy, if you're him or whoever, you're probably... Can I get a picture of that myself to hang up here? It took like this team to bring me down. It took an army,
yeah,
to catch me. I want to remind everyone else in prison about,
right,
that.
This is going to hang in my cell.
Yeah. Like, it is a little bit strange. You know what else is strange? The state of network news, Joe, is what we were talking about. When something like
Stranger
this happens.
Sad.
Because, you know, all the major networks, they have somebody on the ground, a reporter there in eastern Pennsylvania, to follow the story, and he's been there for 2 weeks. In some cases, they, you know, have somebody following the story, and this is the major moment of, they caught him. You know, the story we've been following, like, this is the culmination of 2 weeks of searching. It's the big moment. It happened about an hour ago, and even though these networks all went live to the reporter at the scene earlier in the show, when they actually catch him during the show, they don't put the reporter on TV.
Right.
And it's like, I'm picturing, you know, if I'm myself, like, in that, you know, because I've been a reporter in the field before, you're in that scenario, frantically, like, calling back to the station, to the producer, to whoever's making the decision of what goes over the air. Like, hey, they got him. I'm here. Like, I'm ready to report. I'm ready to say anything. And you're hearing back, sorry, Jason Mraz is on set. We're talking about Dancing with the Stars. Britney Spears' sister is about to be on, so we don't really... I don't know if we can fit you in. Isn't that just so weird?
We've been teasing this for, you know, the 2 weeks that you've been there. We've been also teasing this announcement.
Yeah.
But I thought it just was, of all the networks, right? So obviously the cable news networks have been going with it as soon as this broke. But your NBC, CBS, ABC, not one of the morning shows had this as it was breaking. I thought we were in the time where you wanted to be the first to something, I guess, unless you're announcing the show's lineup or interviewing an author or talking about the great deals you can get this afternoon online. If those are happening, then you know what? We're going to be a little late to reporting the story.
I mean, it does say something that they think more people are going to watch the other thing, and who am I to argue? They probably have the numbers to back it up.
If you're a viewer of, well, right? If you're a viewer of one of those shows, yeah.
But like, it is strange, like the idea that you sent somebody out there.
So what is it?
For 2 weeks to, you know, follow this story. It's happening while like the show that he's on or she is on the air, and, you know, instead you're doing.
So is the Today Show a news program?
Handbags.
Is the Today Show a news program?
It's a magazine. It's a news magazine. That's what they all are. Like, I mean, this isn't new, right? Like, it shouldn't surprise anybody, but it gives you a little bit of news. It gives you a little bit of lifestyle. It gives you a little pop culture. Like, it's
but
it's
I've always
together.
Expected, like, if something breaks during one of those shows, I can turn it on and they will have.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the level of breaking news.
That's true.
Like, this, you know, it's breaking news. You heard about it here first, maybe.
Yeah.
Does your life change at all today with this news? No, it doesn't.
No.
For, you know, 99.9% of the people watching it, you can go 6 hours before needing to know this information.
And if you're in that area, they probably broke in. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, they probably took it themselves.
Eastern Pennsylvania is probably made aware
yeah.
of, you know, what's going on if they were tuned on to their TV. So, like, yeah, like, it depends on what it is. You know, we just had the anniversary of 9/11. It's obviously something that was covered, famously on the Today
right,
Show, you know, on
those
these network
shows,
news.
All those shows, ABC, NBC, CBS, you have seen, if you didn't watch live, tape of them breaking into.
And it was something that
did change us.
Obviously impacted
yeah.
everybody, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And like that was information you needed to know when it was happening. This, you know, we can tell you about this TV deal first.
Yeah. Yeah,
like we can finish it for most
right.
people.
We'll talk to Jamie Lynn and then we'll get to Stephanopoulos about the story.
Yeah. The story that caught your eye, Joe,
oh.
though, on this morning that we didn't really get to a ton. Was this government advisors say the leading decongestant used by millions of Americans to treat nasal congestion does not actually work, which is kind of a funny headline to me. Like, hey, this thing that everyone's been using, it's the top seller, decongestant, doesn't do anything. The FDA convened an expert panel to review the latest data on phenylephrine. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I've never, once you get into these like multi, syllabled drug names, I'm never all that good.
Which is funny because on the packaging, it's just called decongestant.
Yeah, but phenylephrine.
Yeah.
I think that's more in line. It's found in over-the-counter versions of Sudafed, Dayquil, other cold medicines sold on pharmacy shelves. Drug makers reformulated their solutions with the ingredient after a 2006 law required an older drug to be moved behind the counter, right? So in 2006, they're saying like, hey, this maybe not a great idea to be having right here for everyone to grab, move it behind the counter. So we're going to make a new version of this. And researchers, long questioning the ingredient's effectiveness, FDA advisors say new studies show that the oral phenylephrine was no better than a placebo at relieving congestion.
That is very disappointing news. And I just feel like I've been taken by these. My first question is, this doesn't get studied before it's put into medication? Like, the FDA didn't take a look and say, like, you know, oh, are you being truthful with what you're giving people? I guess that's not the job of the FDA, or I just misunderstood. But, you know, we talked about this a few months ago, Brian. I wake up probably once a week with a stuffy nose. And I have decongestants in my backpack. I have a sheet of decongestants in my mailbox. And, you know, I take one at 5 and I feel good by 5:30. But then when I stopped taking the decongestants, because that show that we did really put the microscope on how much medication I'm taking, and I wasn't proud of it, I was still clearing up by 5:30. So it clearly wasn't the decongestants. Now I find even when I'm really sick in taking these decongestants, that's why nothing's happening.
Yeah. Well, we've gone through before how you've said how much medicine you were taking on a day-to-day basis, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was. Well, it was eye-opening because when you say something out loud, you realize how dumb it sounds. Like, if we hadn't done that, I'd probably still be popping a decongestant every morning. But when we had that conversation, I was like, wait a minute. That does sound crazy. I'm glad we did it. I'm glad I stopped. And now I'm... Yes, we're not talking about cheap medication, Brian. And we're talking about things that are $10, $15
a pack. Well, it's the new... It's like Sudafed. So it's Sudafed, what, PE or whatever?
Yeah, that's they the one that's in my bag.
That's the new version. And that's when they took out the one ingredient. People were using that to make meth, right?
Yes.
That's the whole thing. So they moved it behind the counter. Now you have to, you know, go see the pharmacist. It's on record that, you know, that you purchased it.
Right.
You can't purchase more than a certain amount within a certain period of time, something like that. That one probably still works. The one that they replaced, they're like, well, we need something to buy that's on the counter because no one wants to go and see the actual pharmacist. That one, maybe not so much.
How much longer do you think that stays on the shelf, though? I mean, who's going now? They're going to buy the PE version. I guess people who didn't hear this story.
I was going to say, like,
yeah, that's
you.
Like, I'm not going.
No, but like 6 months ago, right?
If
you, before you came to the realization, like, why am I taking a Sudafed every day?
But if I hadn't come to that realization and this story came out, I'd be done. Like, I'm not wasting.
I don't know. Like,
I'm not wasting
in that
$15
mindset,
a week.
You would still be like, well, I'm, you know, I think it helps me. The placebo effect, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people fall for it.
But what about you? Are you one of these people who are a little weary of this? And speaking of weary of things, a lot about that today. 803-0930, 803-0930 on WBEN. So there, it's, I don't want to say it's like an off brand. It's the over-the-counter version, which we've talked about before, like the brand name versus the non-brand name.
Yeah.
This is across all of it. So it has nothing to do with brand name versus non-brand. It's just what you can buy over the counter. They all have the same ingredients. The brand name, non-brand name discussion, I like that amazes me every time because I can't believe these companies can stay in business when their product is on the shelf right next to something that is literally the same thing and costs a quarter of the price as the name brand.
So for medicine, I get it. I don't get it for other items. And when you see that drastic price drop, and for me, it's Triscuit type cracker. I love Triscuit crackers. But then you have the store brand, which is almost $2 cheaper.
And oh my God, we could not be more opposite on this.
Why?
I think exactly the opposite of you.
Go ahead.
On this. I'm just saying, like, the name brand matters so much more if you're talking about like a food product.
See,
than if you're a medicine is a medicine. It's you take a little pill. It has all the same ingredients.
Mm. Yeah,
you're right. It has all the same ingredients.
Yeah,
right there on the shelf. The price difference is you go from $50 for a box of one thing to $5. I mean, like in some cases, it is that drastic for the exact same product. You go to food, now, yeah, there are some that are like, but you can't tell me that the little turtles and the cheese cracker goldfish taste the same.
Well, no.
Like they don't taste the Triscuit box of generic versus the whatever doesn't necessarily taste the same. Hydrox didn't taste the same as Oreos. Like, they're different products.
Yeah, well, goldfish, nothing's better than goldfish, and I will always pay for the goldfish Pepperidge Farm weird little bag. I mean, that's always going
to
be.
Right, but like, that's something where you're buying something to eat it. You're buying something because you enjoy it. You want to taste it, and the taste is different. In the medicine case,
but
it's just you're literally buying it for the ingredient that makes you feel better.
To be fair, not everything has the store brand when it comes to medicine. But you have a good point. I will always get NyQuil instead of the store brand, and I can't give an explanation why, because, yes, the back of the label is the exact same thing.
Yeah, like
I'd rather get Wegmans Triscuits, which regular Triscuits are the best, but I'd rather get Wegmans Triscuits than get Top Care NyQuil, even though I realize it sounds dumb, but that's just something I can't budge on. I don't know why. I don't know why.
You're sitting here eating stale crackers and cookies.
I usually
get
Triscuits.
But at least I got the name brand NyQuil.
The store brand Triscuits aren't stale. They repackage them after the date.
But like, what you're saying it right now, you know it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. But when I get to the store to buy it, well, I guess I'm not going to be going to the store to buy it anymore because it's not doing anything. So it's a moot point anyway. Like, I'll get store brand ibuprofen. I'll get store brand, you know, pain reliever. Yes. When it comes to cold medication, I need the name brand. And but now that's all dumb anyway because it's all the same. It's all it all doesn't work. So it's been a waste of money from the beginning.
Now this doesn't. Well, I need to know, does this include, because if I am, and we've talked about this before, if I'm like stuffed up under the weather, I have long been just a no medicine person. Like I don't want to take any medicine. I'll let my body fight it off. Like, I'll be fine. You know, if it gets really serious, give me an aspirin or, you know, whatever it is. But we've said it changes when you become a parent. It changes in steps. Like, it changes, like, oh, you're working full time. Like, oh, you know, like, the more responsibility you take on, the more medicine I take, right? Because, like, there's some things you just have to, I can't just, like, lay around or be half good or something like that. I need to sound somewhat okay. I need to be up and running around with the kids or something like that. So I take more medicine. My go-to, if I'm, like, very stuffed up, I have, like, the cold, or, you know, maybe it's a flu, or, you know, whatever, the general sickness that everybody gets, has been the, I think the name brand would be DayQuil, the orange syrup, right? The cough, cold and flu syrup, the orange one, the non-drowsy version.
Yeah.
Extra strength. And name brand doesn't matter. I don't care if you're Top Care or NyQuil or 7-Eleven, I've taken them all. And paid anywhere from $5 to, you know, $15 for one bottle. But, like, that's the thing that I don't swear by it, but I think it helps a little bit. Like, it doesn't make me better, but it helps you a little bit. Well, that's not the same thing, right?
Well, DayQuil's on the list, but here's the thing about DayQuil. This is just one ingredient. DayQuil does have pain reliever.
Yeah.
It does have things in
so
it.
So, like, would I be just the same as popping a couple ibuprofen because that's what's in there?
According to the FDA, yes. But NyQuil's not on the list because NyQuil, you know, the stuff that makes you drowsy, I think, works a little better. But that's just the way I'm reading it. When I'm really congested, I like the ibuprofen, I like the vapor rub, and I like the Afrin. That's what I'm going with.
When I read non-drowsy, like, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, they just probably added a little bit of water in it.
Oh, when I read non-drowsy, I'm like, is this really going
to
work?
Right. Like, to me, it's like you got the watered down version.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We just give you a little less of it, so you're less sleepy.
But there are, I mean, you know, the stuff I have in the other room that I'm just going to throw away, that's literally just a pill of whatever this decongestant's called. DayQuil has all those other things in it, so you are feeling the effects of something.
Someone on the text board said Wegmans Oreos, pretty great though. Yes. Like,
yep.
Those are direct. I mean, you would tell by the texture if you have a sensitive tongue. You could taste the W, yeah. Feel around it. But other than that, I do a blind taste test. I don't think you could tell the difference between that and it's almost spot on.
I mean, Wegmans has that trail mix. That's store brand. That's delicious.
In a lot of cases, I prefer a store brand food too. But like the comparison to medicine to food, to me, does not make sense. A couple people pointed out that there are some brands that have different, maybe it's like a different flavor or a different, like, something in there that you might be allergic to versus the real brand. I need a FDA study on that little label that says compare to, right, that you see on all the medicine. If I see compare to, I'm taking that as this is coming from the same factory.
Yeah, you might have a point. I mean, I'll tell you this. My dermatologist says to use Head and Shoulders on my scalp, right? Because I have very dry skin, and I'm supposed to take the bubbles from that and wash my face. That's way too much information. But they don't say, you know, the store brand that says compared to. They say Head and Shoulders. Now, that's not a prescription, but that's the words that were out of their mouth. So when I get I go Head and Shoulders, because that's what the dermatologist said.
Interesting.
Yeah.
More knockoff. It's the real thing coming up. Brian Mazeronski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. All right, Joe, we're blah, blah, blah. Wow. We are back at it.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a
tongue twister. Maybe I need a decongestant. We were talking about name brands and store brands and everything else, and it's kind of coming after this FDA expert panel said that all the over-the-counter versions of Sudafed, Dayquil, other cold medicines are maybe bogus because there's new studies that show oral phenylephrine is no better than a placebo at relieving congestion. So got us talking about name brands versus store brands. And I'm like, medicine products, like to me, it's just always the generic brand or whatever, because I look at it and it's the same ingredient. And the price differences, like what's the price difference on like a bag of chips now, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not that much.
No.
I really don't feel like it is. A store brand versus your whatever name brand. You know what my favorite bag of chips used to be is the Saltinas, the tortilla chips.
That say only?
Yes.
Yep, I was just going to say that's my favorite bag of chips.
Only $1.50.
Yep.
And then it was only $2.
And now it's $2.49.
Yeah. I mean, they keep changing the big...
But they're still the cheapest.
Yeah, they are still. Well, I don't know. I haven't really done like a big cost
unless you go to Aldi
comparison.
Then you can get tortilla chips, a big bag of restaurant style, under $2, and they're good.
They're all good. They all do taste a little bit different, but I don't know if there's like a huge cost savings product to product in a way that there used to be. It depends on the item, obviously. Like soups, you know, cans of soup, like. Half the price, or maybe it's a third of the price if you get like a name brand versus, or if you get a store brand versus a name brand. The biggest price difference, though, is in the medicine aisle.
Yeah.
Where some things are $25, $30, $40, $50, and you have another option sitting right there for under $10.
It's crazy to me, though. Some of those things that are $30, $40, $50 have what we're talking about in them. And it's like, how much money have you spent on something that now the FDA says was not doing anything to decongest you? I mean, that's the numbers that are going through my head this morning.
But like, it doesn't mean that everything falls under. Somebody texted in saying, I still buy name brand Band-Aids and cough drops. Can't explain the stupidity. Like, I don't think that's stupid. I think there's a big difference in a Band-Aid versus in a store brand or a generic Band-Aid. I feel like it's a crapshoot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're all kind of different, and I don't really know what I'm going to get. I don't know what I'm going to get with the Band-Aid.
I don't know how it was at your school, but a few times I would get cuts in school, and you go to the nurse's office, and they were the worst Band-Aids.
It was a piece of Scotch tape with a little pad on it.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The worst. The worst Band-Aids. Yeah, I think it's worth... But again, we're also not talking about a $50 to $15 difference. Band-Aids are kind of like... Going down the chip aisle. You know what I mean? We're not talking about a huge difference in price.
Yeah, I don't...
You know? I mean, unless you want characters on your Band-Aids, we're not talking about a huge difference.
It's a must. Characters on the Band-Aid, character on the shampoo.
Yeah.
I got shampoo for myself, and my son was with me. It's like, wait, first... next one, I want to do the Spider-Man, then after that, this. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. We'll run out of your shampoo first, which, you know, you use a little drop. That shampoo is going to last until he's going off to college.
You're going to send him with Spider-Man to college? Yeah.
If you want Spider-Man next, it's going out to the dorm with you. But I like the generic name brand thing. It really does depend on, to me, what the product is. Like, there are some that just don't. I am not loyal to any name, really. I am loyal to the taste and quality. So whatever it is, I don't care if you're a name brand or you have no name on the package whatsoever. Just give me the good stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for. And then the price is the next thing I look at. But I'm not going to buy something that's way worse just because it's cheaper.
Only a few times have I experienced something that's way worse. That was cheaper.
Cheez-Its.
You can't, I mean, I want the toasty, you know, Cheez-Its. I mean, yes, Cheez-Its, Goldfish, I'm taking the brand name every time. Someone said Ritz crackers. I had Aldi crackers on Monday. I thought they were very good.
Like, a lot of stuff like that, though, is Like, I can notice the difference. It's not the same thing.
Oh.
I want a Cheez-It.
Yeah, no. Cheez-Its are definitely up there with Goldfish. Cheese-like cracker products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a very different flavor with the off-brand.
Yeah.
I want to eat this. I don't want to eat something like this.
No,
I can pay a little less. I want to eat the thing.
That's why Triscuits was an awful example, because I've gotten store brand Triscuits once. I'm like, these aren't the same. I the extra $2 for Triscuits is worth it. Yeah, that was a bad example. But ketchup, I'm getting the store brand. Mustard, I'm getting the store brand. I don't need name brand mustard and ketchup. To me, it's all the same.
Will if they slap a Bills logo on there, does it change it at all?
Not ketchup. No one's seeing that.
Oh, It'll do it for. I mean, I am a purchaser of the Stephon Diggs hot sauce. So,
oh, the Stephon Diggs blue cheese is the best out there. let me tell you right now. But that has nothing to do with him being on it. It's really good blue cheese.
I have bought a Josh Allen chicken rub.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty good. But I'm not just buying it because I think it's going to be really good. I'm buying it because it's got Josh Allen on it.
Oh yeah, I mean, I will buy the Stephon Diggs blue cheese.
I can
cheese.
Be a sucker for that.
Yeah, but like I said, Stephon Diggs blue cheese wasn't because his name was on it. It was the only blue cheese left, and it's really good. Now it's become my go-to.
Go-to?
It's my go-to blue cheese.
That should be your first question if we ever have him on the show.
Yeah, how'd you come up with that blue cheese?
How'd you get this recipe? Steph, you're the go-to right here. All right,
it's really
so
good.
So, you know, speaking of generic, Wegmans a couple of weeks ago announced, and now you can't find it in the store. I mean, they've pretty much run out. Unless you know of a couple places. Not that I'm really looking for it. WPOP.
Yeah.
Right. All gone from the stores, and they said that it doesn't fit under their, you know, healthy, quote unquote, right? Like the food you feel good about,
right.
Branding.
Did you get any final WPOP?
Pop. No. I'm not a pop drinker. I used to be all the time when I was a kid.
I think we all were when we were kids.
I drank so much pop. And then, you know, I said, all right, I'm going to, like, there was a point where I said I got to cut back. And then there was a point where I was just like, no more. Like, don't need it whatsoever. And now I'm like a sparkling water
and Monster.
Addict. And Monster. I have my one energy drink that's it's basically the same thing as a Diet Pop.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I love a Diet Pop every now and then. I think a nice weekend fountain Diet Pop.
Ugh. I always hated every single diet soda.
Yeah, so I used
to. Isn't it weird? It's pop, it's diet soda to me.
So I used to never get close to it, but my wife likes Diet Coke, so it's in the fridge. And sometimes I just want something that's not water, and I'll have it. If I'm in the mood for bubbly, I will get there's something about the fountain Diet Coke. I know, it's not good for you. I don't drink it all the time. I'm just saying, I do enjoy that. I will say, that was the final WPOP I had, a 2 liter of Diet POP.
Was there ever a big difference between the generic pop and the name brand pop? Like, could you take the Pepsi challenge with all of them that are out there, whether it's the cola or the Mountain Mist versus the Mountain Dew versus the Sierra? You know, I loved all the names.
It's so far removed. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could. I could tell you the difference between Pepsi and Coke, but I'm not sure the store brands I could point it out.
I could tell you the difference between Pepsi and Coke, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident on that.
Yeah. I mean, the problem, and we're going back to Aldi, Aldi's diet soda, diet whatever you want to call it, is too much like Pepsi than Coke, in my opinion.
I prefer Pepsi.
Ah, no. Well, this is a
Pepsi family.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're from the South. Family is.
Coca-Cola.
It's Coke.
It dominates.
Everything. Yeah, it's always Coke.
Yeah.
Do they even allow Pepsi? Below, like Virginia,
with all the transplants from the north. It's now, like, yeah, they had to bring Pepsi down with them.
They have a blockade set up. Any Pepsi truck tries to get down.
Coca-Cola also has the better Christmas cans, so
that's what really sold it for you.
Yeah, of course. The polar bears, come on.
But no, like diet always just. Oh, I could never do it. It just never tasted the same to me. It was so different in taste. And, like, you can like the taste, but to me it was always like, this is supposed to taste like this. It doesn't. Like, I just can't ever have it. But the generic, I remember, like, having the generic one. The generic cola was fine. The generic Sprite was always, or 7-Up or whatever you called it. That was always good.
Yeah.
Generic ginger ale Big ginger ale fan. Yeah. But you never found a generic version of like some of the good stuff. There was no generic Verner's.
No.
You had to find the Verner's.
What about Dr. W?
I'm not a root beer person.
Dr. Pepper's not root beer.
Oh, Dr. Pepper, not a Dr. Pepper person.
Oh, really? Oh. Mr. Pibb, if I go to see a movie at Regal, I get Mr. Pibb out of the fountain, which is like Dr. Pepper.
I don't know why. I like cherry Pepsi just fine, but I...
You don't like the other 22 flavors?
No. You jam too much into it. Root beer was never like my thing either. I liked Verner's, though. Like the harsh ginger ale. What even is Verner's?
No idea.
It's like a ginger ale plus.
Yeah. It's like a birch beer compared to root beer.
It's so good. That and the cherry crush.
Yeah, cherry crush is good.
And it was hard to find. When I found cherry crush somewhere, I got it.
We had a crush vending machine at the high school. So we
only
had,
crush?
Mostly crush.
That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, it was good.
There was at a point in high school, I found out because someone had a cherry crush bottle. I said, "Where'd you get that cherry crush?" Like I love cherry crush. You can't find it anywhere. It's not from like a supermarket. And it was a girl. She said, "Oh, it was at the a vending machine at the tanning salon."
See?
So I would have people go. I'm like, "Hey, hey, you going to tan soon? Get me a cherry crush out of the vending machine.
Here you go. Keep the change.
Yeah." I'll pay you back if you come back with a cherry crush.
I'll tell you, and this might be why I was so heavy as a child. I loved Vanilla Coke. When they came out with Vanilla Coke, that was my summertime treat. A good vanilla. And my parents would get, you know, a 12-pack of Vanilla Coke.
I'll bring you, there's a can of that in my fridge. Don't know how long it's been there. Don't know where it's from. I'll bring it in for you tomorrow.
I can't take the empty calories, but.
Yeah, you can.
Not right now, but. My parents would get a 12-pack of Vanilla Coke. Six of them would be gone the first day they were there. That's how much I used to just down pop. Yeah.
Six-pack of the 24-ounce bottles of Pepsi, just
gone.
Two of them just immediately.
And, you know, I would have...
Forget the 2-liter, the 3-liter bottle. I mean, come on.
I would have two 24-ounce Mountain Dews during Bowerly's show when he used to be on in the morning. When I was his call screener, we had the old vending machine at the end of the hallway. I would get a Code Red at 9 and a regular Mountain Dew at 11.
You just live at the sugar factory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was. Yeah. But I would, his show, in 3 hours, I would have 48 ounces of Mountain Dew product from the old vending machine before the remodel.
Now, that's how you know you're from Virginia.
Why is that?
It's Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew is a Pepsi product.
That's Mountain Dew. Like, isn't the origin in like the West Virginia mountains?
It probably is,
or at least that's what the marketing told me.
I loved Mountain Dew Code Red. That was, it would be dangerous. I can't drink it again, or I might get hooked again. But Mountain Dew Code Red, every morning I would start Bowerly's show off with that. I would add 11. I would get another one because remember, once he was off the air, I was down the street at Bed Bath & Beyond. I needed that push.
Yeah, the only Mountain Dew could give you. Well, on the topic of pop, you could say goodbye to refilling Coke at McDonald's because they're eliminating self-service soda machines at all U.S. restaurants by 2032. Now, McDonald's says the goal is to create consistency for customers and crew members across the chain's offerings, from in-person dining to online delivery and drive-thru options. They didn't say if any additional factors like finances or sanitation will be impacted. What do you think about this? A couple things run through my mind. One is I can see this where so many people are ordering like takeout that it kind of makes sense if you don't have what, you know, sometimes you go to the fountain, oh no, they're out of Pepsi or it's extra syrupy or something like that, and you deliver it to somebody and they're not happy with it. This time you can't blame the delivery person. Like, it's on the restaurant, the quality of this. And then the other would be the, you know, what are the odds you're going to go up for a second or third refill if you have to wait in line and get somebody behind the counter, right?
Well, and how many people are actually eating at McDonald's anymore? Coming from someone who goes and picks up orders at McDonald's regularly, they're always empty. It's takeout. I mean, there's barely someone behind the counter. I think it's because more often than not now, I find myself walking up to the machine and getting an empty whatever the customer ordered. And now I have to go back, wait for the person behind the counter to use the drive-through one. so I can take that to the customer. So I think that has a big part. They don't have the full dining rooms they used to have, and they're running out.
The other thing, too, like if you go to the Pepsi machine, you know, you're at ordering food at a McDonald's or whatever it is, and it's out. Like, how often are you actually telling the person behind the counter that your Pepsi's out?
Yeah, less than 50%.
I never do it. Like, I know it's probably a bad thing, right? But you should do it. That would be the courteous thing to do. But like, I'm not going back there, flagging whoever. Like, hey, you're out of this. I don't need it. I'll get something else. It's fine. I don't want to have another conversation with whoever took my order.
Only reason I do it is if it's for someone else, but they have been putting the orders in the bag with the food, so I haven't had to worry about getting the drinks. But I think it's just less traffic inside the stores.
Yeah, I guess that probably makes sense. Do they have the screen ones? I don't think they do at McDonald's.
No, that's Wendy's.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot of places.
Yeah.
Most places. I love the video screen touch
thing.
It's
very nice.
It's great because now they have sparkling water and you can have a zero calorie flavored sparkling water. Or I mix a little bit of the no sugar Powerade with the sparkling water. Have a little half and half. Ah, it's the best.
Where are you going that they have this?
I feel like they have it everywhere.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I see that Wendy's.
The freestyle?
Yeah, I see it at Wendy's when I'm doing orders. But
they've got just right around the corner. Five Guys has it. Moe's has it. I'm trying to think of
Moe's. That's the last place I saw it. You're right.
There's a whole bunch of different places have those.
Yeah, I like those.
I think the movie theater has it.
McDonald's will never go to that though.
Well, no, they're not. They're going to nothing.
Well, they're behind the thing. They'll still have the old school.
Well, it takes too. There's too many options. You can't give people too many options if you're having somebody else make it.
I'd like to know, for this is, I guess, a question for tomorrow. For the people that have to work those freestyle, how do you know what's out? There's so many options. You know what I mean?
I always, is this a little paranoid of me? I do this when I'm getting water from the tap because it's most 90% of the time if I'm going somewhere where there's a soda fountain, I'm just getting water. Like, hey, can I have a cup for water? And I actually do get water. I run it through before I put the... And on the freestyle machines, I'm like, these are all sharing the same spout. I'm running like a water through there.
That's a good idea.
Is that paranoid or?
No. Because you're right. If you put your cup under the water on the old school fountain, it's going to taste like tea because they always share the thing with tea.
Or lemonade.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Exactly.
So I'm always letting it go. I do that in the fountain too. My little
tick. I don't think that's paranoid at all. I do the same thing.
Well, we'll be back here tomorrow. Should Joe drive to Florida?
Oh yeah, this is gonna be a great show.
We'll share our thoughts tomorrow when we're back.
There's pros and cons. There's pros and cons. It's not as simple a question as that. But that's
I agree.
But that's what we will tackle tomorrow. Brian's thrown a lot of curveballs though that might have this question answered before the show. But we will get your thoughts on it tomorrow, 9 o'clock. David is next after the news with Lucas on WBEN.